7:01 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. You can also text us 70470-70470. Just please write WRKO in front of your text message. Okay, as you know, we are now, and these are not my words, I mean, this is from the state, our State Department, to the Israelis themselves, the Palestinians, the entire Middle East, most foreign governments around the world, all media outlets that are there covering what's going on in Israel and in the Gaza Strip, all of them agree. They disagree on many things, but on one thing they now agree. We are on the brink, the cusp of an all-out war. Massive rocket attacks again last night, pounding Israeli positions. Israel is launching targeted strikes against Hamas and terrorist leaders and commanders. They are also hitting missile batteries where many rockets and missiles are being launched into Israel. The death toll is now mounting.
We are prepared for various scenarios. We have the capabilities, the manpower, and the equipment to do whatever it takes.
That was the spokesman for the Israeli Defense Forces, basically warning that we're going to be escalating our counterattacks on Hamas, but you ain't seen nothing yet. That the Israeli military is growing frustrated and they're going to start to lash out and really take it to Hamas, which means you are going to see a lot more dead bodies. So as we are now on the brink of an all-out war, my question now to you, very simple. Who do you side with? Number one. Number two, is Biden ultimately to blame for all of this? Here is a really good point from Larry. Jeff, the last two callers apparently have forgotten, rather conveniently, that Trump brokered peace accords between Israel and several Arab countries. And it only took 4 months for Biden to destroy it. He's completely right. There was Arab-Israeli peace. Trump had basically done the impossible. And within 4 months, because this is what happens, as Jerry rightly put it, when you start leading from behind, way behind, nature abhors a vacuum. And that's when the fanatics and that's when evildoers want to fill that vacuum. And that's what you're seeing first with Iran and now with the Hamas and Islamic Jihad and these other Palestinian terrorists. And just stand back. Look at the bigger picture. I'm not trying to depress you at 7 o'clock in the morning, but you have to know what's going on in the world. France is on the verge of a civil war. France. Lebanon is collapsing. Russia has 80,000 troops amassed at the border of Ukraine. China is now threatening to imminently invade Taiwan. Iran is on the march. Biden has lifted the sanctions. They are now able to support all of their terrorist proxies, i.e. Hamas, all over the Middle East. And now Hamas and Palestinian jihadists are raining rockets and missiles on Israel. And that's in 4 months. That's in 4 months. Now, you want to throw in our wide open border. You want to throw in the lack of jobs, inflation, gas lines. You see how this thing is starting to turn out? So, to me, I think there's no question about it. What the media is desperately trying to ignore is the fact that it's hitting everyone in the face. Biden is a failed, disastrous president. He is flailing while America, the world, and Israel burns. 617-266-6868 is the number. Reina in Israel. Thanks for holding, Reina, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. You knew that I'd have to call this morning. It just, There are no words, you know. I'm most of all, I think the thing that bothers me the most, and there are lots of things that do, but it's a total ignorance of the people in the media, the people in the world, the anti-Semitism. I don't understand it. You know, I've only been living in Israel for 30 years, but before that I visited here many times. I also was in South Lebanon at the end of the Lebanese war with Israel in 1982. There were people, we don't understand our history. You know, I'm sitting here, I've got a book in front of me that is from 1925, and it was written by the Muslim priesthood. And it's the story of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And in this book, written by the Muslim Waqf, it's called, this is like the Pope of the Muslims, it says in 1925 that the buildings, the Mosque of Al-Aqsa, all of them are very recent. Because it says that when you come up onto the Dome of the Rock, you will have no problem seeing that the site is one of the oldest ones in the world. Its sanctity dates from the earliest and perhaps even prehistoric times. And its identity with the site of Solomon's Temple is beyond dispute. And this is the spot which, according to the universal belief, on which David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt peace offerings. Now, to my knowledge, this took place in 1312 BCE. That's before Jesus, right? And we're now in 2021 after, which means that this took place 3,333 years ago. So that there have been Jewish people in this area and on the Temple Mount for 3,333 years. Now let me go back to this book written by, this tour guide written by the Muslim Waqf, in which it states, for the purposes of this guide, which confines itself to the Muslim period, the starting point is the year 637 A.D. That's only 637 A.D. That's not B.C. And in that year, it was the Caliph Omar who occupied Jerusalem. And one of his first acts was to repair the site, which had become sacred in the eyes of the Muslims as the place to which the Prophet had one night miraculously ascended to heaven.
Raina, look, you're giving us a fascinating, brilliant history lesson. And look, I think there's no question, the way Bibi Netanyahu famously put it, the Bible gives us the deed to the land. It's the certificate for the land. I completely agree with him on that. But Raina, I want to ask you what's going on right now. How are Israelis feeling and reacting? You've got air raid sirens. You've got Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, other cities now being pounded with rockets and missiles. What is the mood like in Israel?
It's horrible. People are afraid to leave home. People are attacked if they're out in their cars. They're being swarmed on by Arabs who live in Israel because this is the end of Ramadan. And Ramadan is a very religious, you know, you've got to go back and you've got to look at the Bible and you've got to see who these people are.
Raina, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Raina, thank you very much for that call. No, look, this is, again, a major part of the story that the media is not reporting, is that you now have essentially in some towns and cities a civil war breaking out between Jewish Israelis and Arab Israelis. I'm not talking the West Bank and Gaza. I'm talking Israel itself, where Israel has a large Arab minority, and they are now turning on Israelis. They've been funneled with automatic weapons, and they are firing at Israeli police. They're firing at ordinary Israelis. They are ransacking businesses. They're doing a BLM Antifa. They are plundering, looting, destroying, and they are now also torching synagogues. And the goal is to divide Israel itself, to create a civil war within the state of Israel, and then for Hamas and other regional powers to move in and wipe the Jews out. If I'm Netanyahu, it's time to declare war on Hamas. It's either us or them. And I sue, and I side with us.
Ya Allah.
Seven 19 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. This was Gaza this morning. There is intense now rocket missile fire being rained on Israel. Israel is now retaliating. They are hitting, punishing, in fact, many of these Hamas targets across the Gaza Strip. We are now on the verge of a major war in the Middle East. And Biden's only been in office, what, 4 months? 4 months and counting, baby. Okay. He gave a very tepid, to me, very weak sign or message of support, signal of support to Israel, saying, well, if you have thousands of rockets and missiles coming into your territory, yeah, you have the right to defend yourself.
My expectation and hope is that this will be closing down sooner than later. But Israel has a right to defend itself when you have thousands of rockets flying into.
So, you know, I mean, not no big ringing endorsement. I'll tell you this, too much. Too much for Warren, too much for Bernie, too much for Tlaib, too much for Omar, and AOC just went nuts. So she went on social media and blasted Biden, saying that he had no business saying that Israel has the right to defend itself, that this, and I'm quoting now from her tweet, dehumanizes Palestinians. And implies that the U.S. will look the other way at human rights violations. It's wrong. You want to see how anti-Semitic the Democratic Party has become? Look at this. Just look at it. Okay, very quickly. As you know, this is not new. Jeremy Corbyn, who was the leader of the Labour Party before they got wiped out by the Conservatives, and one of the reasons why they got defeated, crushed in the last election, was because Corbyn was an anti-Semite. And he brought many anti-Semites into the Labour Party. In other words, the radical left. And his anti-Semitism disgusted many of the voters in Britain. So listen now to this, because what you're witnessing under Biden is in many ways the Corbynization of the Democratic Party. A great message. By the way, you can text us 70470-70470. Jeff, are you really surprised that the Democratic Party is only now showing their anti-Semitic bloodlust? Recall that the KKK, the armed wing of the Democrats, was, of course, anti-Semitic. Black Lives Matter and Antifa, the latest manifestation of the armed wings of the Democrats, are overtly anti-Semitic. The Corbynization of the Democratic Party continues apace. And finally, totalitarian movements require, as Hannah Arendt pointed out, an anti-Semitic foundation. Bingo. Bingo. In other words, one terrorist organization to another, one totalitarian movement to another. I love you. Or as the French would say, je t'aime. I love you. That's why the Democrats and the radical left in this country are blowing kisses, smooches to Hamas. Birds of a feather flock together. 617-266-6868. William in Fairhaven. Thanks for holding, William, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
Remember when the president lost the election, I called and I said that within a year we'll be in World War III or close to it. This is what I was meaning. He is so corrupt, and the people around him and everyone who follows him, just everywhere this guy goes, corruption follows. So it's just common knowledge that soon enough we're going to end up in a conflict somewhere in the world. But I am with Israel. I have been with Israel before I was born. My family, who they are, this country was actually given to them, you know, on the back of Christians. And and I'm always going to be with Israel. But the thing the world has to, we're going to come to the realization is that everyone who's a Christian, you are a Jew. If you pick up that Bible and read it, you are a Jew. And there's no two ways about it. Matter of fact, a lot of us people have colonial English ancestries. We're actually circumcised and baptized before we could even know it. You know what I mean? But the point I'm trying to make is we are Jews. And Israel is basically almost a state to me, you know. And I know they do wrong and this and that here and there, but their values is what built our country. I mean, look at the freedom we enjoy. God gave us this country. We didn't just get it free. We had to fight for it, you know. And that's an argument other people would argue. But, you know, Israel, I wish there was some way that guys like me who were divorced, I got nothing to do, could go over there and volunteer. I don't care if it's in combat or passing out food and water, because everybody's got to stick together. We got to beat Islam. This is going to be a war for a long time, and we got to beat them. There's no way. We can't show them any mercy. What mercy do they show Israel? None. They're talking about beheading. They're running through the cities in hordes, burning things to the ground, just like the problems we have here in America. Sooner or later, we're going to have to deal with Antifa, and it's not going to be nice when we do. You know, but we're in big trouble, and I predict within the next year we're going to be looking at combat with Russia and in China, because they see weakness. Not only that, they look at Biden as a perverse devil. How the hell are they ever going to even negotiate with somebody who's all over the internet on those videos? And you see it, you know.
No, look, I mean, William, you're on fire. You're on fire, and thank you very much for that call. No, look. Look, you know I can't stand any enemy of America. You know that, okay? But, you know, we do live in the world, and we have to acknowledge that we live in the world. If you were them, wouldn't you be doing exactly what they're doing now? If you were in their shoes, I mean, I know you're not, but just you got to put yourself in the other person's shoes. If I'm Hamas, there's no better time to strike than now. If I'm Putin, you better believe it. I'd be saying, load up the troops on the border with Ukraine. He's going to stop us? That demented buffoon? Are you kidding me? If I'm the communist Chinese and I'm dreaming about a great Chinese empire in the Pacific, and the crown jewel is Taiwan, I'd be saying, guys, get ready for a massive invasion of Taiwan, because under Biden, we own him like a $10 streetwalker. He won't lift a finger. In other words, our enemies sense weakness, and now they're pouncing. Your calls next. .732 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, listen now to Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus. He is the international spokesman for the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, saying what we are dealing with are ruthless Islamist monsters. They have Hamas. Human life means nothing to them, especially Jewish life. Roll cut 97, Christian.
We know that we're dealing with a ruthless jihadi terrorist organization that has no regard for civilian life, not for Palestinian life, and definitely not for Israeli life.
And so, by the way, the Israelis are watching the Iron Dome, and God bless that Iron Dome. That short-range missile defense system they have. Thousands of rockets have been flying at Israel, targeting Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. By the way, cities and towns, residential neighborhoods in central Israel, in southern Israel. Many of them, not all, too bad, but many of them intercepted and blown up in the sky by the Iron Dome missile defense system. Listen now to the Israeli IDF spokesman again. Roll cut 98, Christian.
I'd like not to imagine what the situation would be. And I'm very happy that we have the Iron Dome defending our civilians.
Oh, you'd have a lot more dead. You'd have a lot more dead. 617-266-6868. Okay, I want to ask you, Biden, is he inviting this aggression and weakness? Number one, is he in many ways to blame? For under Trump, we had Middle East peace. In fact, he brokered deal after deal between Israel and Arab nations. 4 months, now they're at each other's throats. And number two, in this war, and we are now literally on the brink of an all-out war, who do you side with, Israel or Hamas? Democrats are siding with Hamas. I side with Israel. Who do you side with? Kim in Plymouth. Thanks for holding, Kim, and welcome.
Jeff, I side with Israel and the great people, the Jewish people who live there. Let's not forget, about 5 days ago, the U.S. Navy, along with the U.S. Coast Guard, boarded a boat that was filled to the brim with guns, bullets, RPGs, and missiles. And we know where those were going to end up, going against the people of Israel. Thank God our military got those guns out of the terrorist hands. Oh, this could be much worse. They are building up their military to cut all our throats.
Kim, are you shocked? Maybe again, I'm just showing my how naive I am about many things in life. Grace always says that about me. She goes, geez, Jeff, you know, you really are quite naive sometimes. I just can't believe how you have many Democrats. So, I mean, I knew they were anti-Israel. I knew they harbored secret anti-Semitic feelings or impulses. But now to so openly, explicitly, publicly side with Hamas. I mean, it's not even you say, oh, I support the Palestinian cause. You're now talking about Islamic Nazis. And they're being defended and praised by Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren. Kim, are you just surprised at how openly anti-Semitic so many Democrats have revealed themselves to be?
Yes, even for the Democrats, I'm shocked. But they are showing their true colors, and it's not red, white, and blue, Jeff.
Very well said. Kim, thank you very much for that call. It's a party full of Jew haters now. I think there's no getting around that. 617-266-6868. Mark in Dedham. Thanks for holding, Mark, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. I disagree with you on your position. I think the Palestinians are just fighting to get their country back.
How do you mean, Mark?
It was their country. They were kicked out of their country. It's been 70 years. The Israelis have had 70 years to make peace with them. The Israelis have failed to do that.
Well, Mark, I mean, under first Yitzhak Rabin and then under Ehud Barak, this was in the 1990s, Israel made massive concessions to the Palestinians, offered them, especially under Ehud Barak in 2000, and that was being brokered by Bill Clinton, they offered the Palestinians all of the West Bank, all of the Gaza Strip, and most of East Jerusalem. And Yasser Arafat didn't just turn it down. This is the key point, Mark. He never came back with a counteroffer. So they've been offered a full Palestinian state, and yet they don't want a Palestinian state because what they want is the extermination of Israel and the extermination of the Jews.
Yeah, I think there should be a one-state solution. it was good enough for South Africa, it should be good enough for Israel.
In other words, you want the Jews wiped out?
I don't want them wiped out. I want the Palestinians to regain their country back.
But the Palestinians, but Mark, but the Palestinians have made it very clear. So in other words, you're saying forget Gaza, forget the West Bank, forget even East Jerusalem. You think the Palestinians should take over all of Jerusalem, all of Tel Aviv, all of Israel proper?
They can share it with the Jews.
But the Jews would be the minority. And the Palestinians have openly said, look at the Hamas charter, look at the PLO charter or the PLA. They want the Jews exterminated. They want the Jews out. They want to drive them into the sea. So are you willing to acquiesce to a second Holocaust?
Well, I don't think the situation for the last 70 years has been right.
Well, why can't the Palestinians just make peace? I mean, why can't the Palestinians? I mean, when they have, they've been. I just gave you two peace offers. They offered them a state twice.
What's going on in the West Bank right now? What's going on in the West Bank?
What's going on in the West Bank right now is that they're being pillaged and robbed by these corrupt gangsters at the PLA. That's what's going on in the West Bank. And they're teaching their children to hate Jews and to strap on a bomb and blow up and kill innocent Israeli civilians. That's what's going on in the West Bank. They're literally comparing Jews to monkeys and pigs. I mean, the problem, Mark, is you're trying to blame Israel when Israel has come to the peace table again and again and again and again. And every time they spit in their face. Because you're right. The Palestinians want a one-state solution. All of it for them. And drive the Jews into the sea. They say it over and over and over again. And so, Mark, I want to ask you in all honesty, do you think the Jews deserve a second Holocaust? Wasn't the first one enough?
No one said anything about a Holocaust.
Well, that's what the Palestinians are calling for. That's what their leadership is calling for.
What's happened to the Palestinians? What happened to Palestine?
Well, it was divided. And the Arabs got their chunk, and the Jews got their chunk. And the Jews are able to live with the entire Middle East, but the Arabs can't live with the Israelis. That's the problem.
And the West Bank was part of the Palestinian chunk, right?
But they were given it.
They were given it. And who's living there? What are all these settlements? What are all these developments? Who's being pushed out?
Well, that could be negotiated. And the fact is the Israelis offered, again, we're going around in circles. They were offered, look it up, in 2000, Yasser Arafat, right on the table. All of the West Bank, the settlements would be gone, all of Gaza, and East Jerusalem as the capital of a new Palestinian state. He never even came back with a counteroffer. So there you go.
You have to come back with.
If you want a Palestinian state and if you want peace, you come back with a counteroffer or you take the great offer that was given to you, frankly. But instead, he wanted war. And that's the point. They want all of Jerusalem. And you just said it. They want all of Israel and the Jews in the gas ovens. You look at Hamas. They're not interested in peace. As they've openly said, they want to cut the heads off of every single Jew. Hitlerism is alive today, and it's being embodied by the Palestinians. And honestly, Mark, that you would back them, you should be ashamed of yourself. /7:47 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Linda in South Carolina. Thanks for holding, Linda, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. Hi. I've been listening to you for many years, and I'm kind of very upset this morning after what's been happening, you know, with the Biden regime. And, of course, I'm a Trump supporter, and I'm also Jewish. And you are so right about what's been going on right now. I mean, my friends, I have a lot of Jewish friends, and a lot of them are Democrats, and I don't understand. This is one thing I had to say this morning to you and to your listeners. I do not understand how they can vote for Biden. I don't get it, and what he's been doing, all of his policies, and especially as to what is going on in Israel now. I am just so upset. I don't understand these people. What is the matter with them? Don't they understand that, I mean, Trump was our best president that we ever had, and he was so close with Israel. And I just, basically what I wanted to say to you is I don't get it. Why do they feel this way? I don't understand it. And they still vote for the Democrats. And it's just mind-boggling. And that's basically all I had to say. I'm just very upset over this. And I had to tell you this because, you know, I don't know what's going on with this country. I really don't. But we have to beware. It's very scary. There are scary times right now. And we have to do whatever we have to do to combat this because this regime is taken over completely as far as I'm concerned. And it's not what I grew up with, and it's not what I'm used to as an American and as a Jew. And I had to call you basically to tell you how I felt.
Well, Linda, you should be worried. I mean, I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm being very honest with you. Now, look, Israel has a formidable military. You know that better than I do. They have the incredible Iron Dome system. Luckily, Netanyahu is still prime minister. He is a war leader, if there ever was one. He is a nationalist. He is a patriot. He will always put the interests of Israel and Israelis first, and he is going to hammer Hamas. And no matter how much pressure Biden tries to bear on him, Netanyahu will always put his people first. So I think Israel has a lot of strengths, and there's a lot of people in this country who are not Jewish, like myself, who are huge supporters of Israel and around the world, to be frank. Israel has so many allies, but I'm not going to lie to you. You have a puppet, fraudulent president who is demented. He suffers from dementia. He just does. Who is surrounded by the radical left, who are deeply anti-Semitic. They loathe Israel to its very core. They are openly sympathetic to Islamic terrorists. And you ask about many of these liberal or liberal Jews or Jews who vote Democrat, why, even in the face of this just obscene anti-Semitism, I mean, rockets are raining down on Israel. And you've got leaders of Hamas, top leaders, and these are the top leaders of Gaza. In other words, they're running the Gaza Strip. You can look it up. Don't take my word for it. Fathi Hamad is just one of them, giving a speech to a jubilant crowd of Palestinians where he's telling them, all of you Arabs that live in Israel, you can defeat Israel from within. All you got to do is go to your local supermarket or whatever store and get a 5-shekel knife, which is about $1.50. And he goes, find the nearest Jew on the street and cut his head off. And if all of you cut their heads off, Israel is finished. So this is the kind of leadership that Ilhan Omar, I'm not kidding, supports, and Talib, and AOC, and Bernie, and Warren, and Harris, and in many ways, Biden. Now, my theory is this, and I'm not trying to insult or offend anybody. I'm speaking to you, to me, like I'm in the confessional, being as candid as I can. Many liberal democratic Jews that I've met are ashamed to be Jewish. They don't want to be known as Jewish. Most of them don't go to the synagogue. They don't practice their Jewish faith, their Jewish traditions. They don't even have any kind of a sense of a Jewish identity. It's almost like they want you to think they're not Jewish. They are self-hating, self-loathing Jews. And I don't know why. Judaism is such a rich tradition, and it's got such a rich, a vibrant, beautiful history, why you would be ashamed to be Jewish, but many of them are. And so I think they are putting their allegiance to the Democratic Party above, frankly, their own Jewish faith, their own Jewish culture, their own Jewish identity. And the question they have to ask themselves, and this is now one of these moments in history, if this thing descends into an all-out war, and we'll know in about another 3 or 4 days how bad things get, and you see now more Jewish dead bodies, and you see even more of a civil war erupting in Israel itself, where Jews are having their throats slit, and you got family members who are dying, you've got fellow Jews who are dying, they're going to have to ask themselves, what's my allegiance? Is my allegiance to my people, to my faith, to my culture, to my history? Or is it to this bankrupt Democratic Party that wants to sell us down the river? That's the question. And we're going to find out that answer, Linda, in about the next 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, I'm originally from Massachusetts. I don't know if I mentioned that. And we're retired down here. And I'll tell you, this isn't the world I grew up in. It really isn't. And it's just mind-boggling. And that's basically what I had to say. I just hope more people will wake up. That's the thing.
They are. Yeah. Linda, trust me, they are. Biden has done so much damage to this country, but to his party in the last 4 months. A lot of people, it's not that they're conservative, but they're starting to realize how dangerous the radical left is. So I know it sounds bad, Linda, but in the end, we will win. The question is, how much of a price do we have to pay? Linda, thank you very much for that call. 6-1, I'm telling you, we will win. I think there's no question anymore. I mean, this regime is against human nature. It's against reality. It's against the fundamental interests of the United States. It will go down. The question is, how fast? 617-266-6868. Jacob in Westford. Thanks for holding, Jacob, and welcome.
Hi, good morning. I love your program. Actually, in Westwood.
Westwood. My apologies, Jacob.
Not a problem. I'm observant Jew. I've spent several months in Israel. A couple of points, a quick history lesson for Mark and Dedham. There's never been a Palestinian state. After World War II, the land that was promised to Israel, Churchill took 78% of it and gave it to placate a couple of Hashemite sheikhs. The Jews, in other words, what's modern-day Jordan really was promised to the Jews after World War II. The Jews said, we'll take it. The Arabs said it's not enough. One of the unfortunate things is that, you're right, not only does Hamas not care about their own, but a lot of people don't realize this is not just against Jews. The Arab Christian population in Israel is down to 1% or 2%, and they're not being forced out by Jewish settlers. They're being forced out by Palestinian Muslims. A couple of other things quickly, and ways that have been things that have benefited here. After 9/11, the Israelis sent about a dozen of their top security experts to go around and meet with major police departments in the United States. After the Boston bombing, lives were saved because, and I know this firsthand from someone who was involved with it, completely under the radar, because unfortunately the Israelis have more experience with mass trauma casualties than anyone else. The Israelis sent trauma doctors from their major hospitals in Jerusalem to hospitals in Boston and elsewhere to train them in how to deal with mass casualties.
I didn't know that. Americans. Oh, Jacob, you just taught me something now. No, look, I know the Israeli people are incredible. They are very close allies of the United States. Jacob, I see that again and again. Jacob, I want to ask you something because you made a very interesting point about Arab Christians. I want to ask you, in Israel itself, is there a difference between Arab Muslims or Palestinian Muslims, whatever you want to call them, and Arab Christians? In other words, are Arab Muslims much more militant and violent than Arab Christians?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't, what you see again is Again, the Arab Christians are being driven out not by Jews or the Israeli government, but they're being driven out by Muslims. This is what people don't understand, and I'm trying to say this objectively. As great a religion as it is, a major problem with Islam is, and this is the real issue, it cannot abide a non-Islamic presence in its midst.
Bingo. Jacob, you nailed it. You nailed it. What you just spoke now is the Lord's truth. And it's simple, concise, and to the point. He nailed it. As great as Islam is in terms of its reach over a billion people, its cultural influence since, what is it, the 6th, 7th century, not just in the Middle East, but in North Africa, around the world. I mean, agree or disagree, it's had a profound impact. It just has. The one seminal fact, they cannot tolerate a non-Islamic presence in their midst. Doesn't matter if it's Jewish or Christian, they have to be enslaved at a minimum or expelled. That's the problem. It is fundamentally intolerant of any other faith.